Testing 1, 2. Hallelujah to the King of Kings. Miss Diana, you missed it. I think you were out. I gave you a big introduction and a big thing about coming Wednesday, but I'm going to have to take it back. You weren't in here. No. No. Also a matter of note, and I want to make sure you're in here. I know Diana's father and Mr. Sheldon's father-in-law and other people that are here that Mr. Lloyd passed away. And that was when Thursday, I think it was, Mr. Miller passed away. And he fought a good battle. He ran the race, you know. And I know his wife had died a few months ago. And they just saw him just going downhill a little bit, memory-wise, fluid-wise, around the heart, and just whatever. And so he was in the hospital at Lourdes for the last week. And that last week they kept trying to treat him and, you know, just do what they could with him, with the body and stuff. And I want to show you how merciful God is. He wanted to be home to pass away. He didn't want to be in a hospital. And even to the end, God will grant you, if it's according to his will, what he desires. That Thursday, he was in the hospital for a week. The nurses called and just said that, you know, you need to get him home if you want him home, because he won't last much longer. And so the ambulance picked him up, brought him to his house around 6, 5:30 or so. And he died at what time?
About 5 to 7.
5 to 7. So an hour and a half he was home. But you see, you might say that's not long, but God keeps his promises. God is a promise keeper, people. Let me tell you something. If God speaks to you and tells you something and it's according to the word of God, he will keep his word no matter what. You can bank on it. You can know without a shadow of a doubt that what God speaks through his word, the promises, that we can keep those things and we can, God will do it for us. And so around that time, 5 to 7, it says that he passed away. And so, but we know that he is in glory. We know he gave his heart to the Lord. We know that he loved the Lord. He made some of the best tarts ever. That's one thing I'm gonna miss. You know, I drive up, if he made tarts for somebody else, he always had two on the side for me. And lemon was the one that I liked. And he had those tarts ready. Now there's no one there to make tarts, so I don't know what I'm going to do. And there's no one there to give me a bottle of pop of Dr. Pepper. So I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to have to just bring some on my own just to make it through, you know. But, you know, just the characteristic of both Miss Irene and Mr. Lloyd was that one thing I learned was that their house was open to people. Jelena said, this house is open, that anyone could go in at any time almost and just be welcomed. Just be welcomed. And so, you know, he was, all his children and family were there when he passed away. And so what I'm telling you this is that the funeral home, Vance Holmes' funeral home, will be open for him this coming Saturday from 3 to 8, okay? And then Sunday morning will be from 8 to 3. And the funeral will be at 3 o'clock, okay? The funeral will actually be on Sunday, but it will be open Saturday, you know, from 3 to 8. And then Sunday from 8 in the morning till 3. And then the funeral will be at 3, okay? So if you would like to go and show your respect and to be of help to the family, you can go at that time. And I know they would appreciate it. So we do, we will miss Mr. Miller, but we know this, that God had a perfect purpose and a perfect plan for his life. And I know he lived it out the way God would want him to. And so what we do is we look forward to the greater things than ever before and what God will do. And we look at the legacy that they left in helping whatever they can. People, these were helpers. You know a ministry of helps? They helped. They helped in every church they went to. They helped do whatever they could, even in their old age, to giving a cup of coffee to somebody, to, you know, the last thing he told me was that he was buying basketballs or something for harvest time school, something that they needed. And I said, that's good. Go ahead. You know, just bless wherever you can. You see, we should do whatever we can to bless people's lives so that they would know that Jesus lives in our hearts and Jesus lives in our lives. And we will do everything we can to bless people and to help people if we're able to. You know, January is a month that has been set aside to honor, well, if you want to say honor, life. It's called the Sanctity of Life Month. And usually the third Sunday, which is the fourth, fifth, this one, but around the third Sunday of each January is where most churches, or even however during the month, will take time aside to honor life, to honor life that God has given to the church and to human beings. And we know that because of life that Jesus has given unto us, that we can live a life that is pleasing unto him. And you know, in January, you know, is the Sanctity of Life Month, but it's also a time where we can look back to where abortion came legal in America and where millions of babies have been killed. And that is a stain upon our country, people, a stain upon our country. I don't know how you feel, but I know our new president, Biden, has allowed abortions to go back on demand in other countries. Trump had stopped all funding for abortions throughout the world, and now he has signed executive order to bring back the finances, bringing back, taking our money, your money, my money, to have babies killed throughout the world. I don't like it. I'll be honest with you, at all. You might say, is there a situation where maybe, you know, abortion might have to take place? I just don't see it. There's always avenues to go around it somehow, some way. And so we got to do whatever we can to lift up life this month and to treasure that every person is worth something. Every person is worth something. The blood of Jesus is worth life. John 10:10 says this. Can you bring that scripture up, please? John 10:10. It says, the thief comes, what, to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. So you see, God, our Father, His Son, Jesus, is the author of life. The author of life. We can go back to Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2 and 3, and we can see where God was the author of life of humanity. Humanity, human beings as we see it. We know the earth has been here far longer than human beings have been here. By far. There were other things here. We can't go into all that, but by far. But when Jesus made humanity, he took the dirt from the ground. Can you imagine? And he took that dirt and he formed it into a man. And what he did was he blew into his nostrils, it says, of Adam. He blew into his nostrils. And when he blew into the nostrils of Adam, it blew in blood, which is blood symbolizes life. He blew into him the life of what was in the Father or what was in Jesus our God and gave him life. We all go back to the same one. Every one of us goes back to Adam and Eve, okay? That's the first two. God is the author of life. God formed man into the image of himself. That's why the enemy cannot stand you. He hates everything about you. Because Jesus came and died upon the cross for you. And because when he sees you, he sees the defeat of his camp. He sees the defeat of who he was and who he once served. You see, we are in the image of our God, made in the likeness of him. My God, you're precious in the sight of God. Let me tell you, that's why suicide is so high up, because they don't realize how precious they are in the sight of God. They don't realize that they have been made in the image of their God. And so they look at themselves and they look at something that's almost worthless to them. But if they only knew, they can take this word and open it up and find out that God says you are worth something. You are worth the blood of Jesus. You are precious in the sight of God. You might say, what does anything matter? No, it doesn't matter if you're white, black, red, blue, green, whatever it is. God is saying that we are precious in the sight of God. We are precious. Without a God conscience, that's how people can come out with guns and just shoot anybody. I'm not saying in protection of yourself. That's totally different. You know, when it says thou shalt not kill, one of the commandments, it really shouldn't have been written that way. If you go back to the way it was written, it should have said, thou shalt not murder. Murder. Totally different. Totally different. I am totally against anybody just going on the streets and killing anybody. No, 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 no. But I'm totally for somebody to protect their family from anybody coming in or trying to bring harm to them. You have a right to protect yourself. You have a right to protect your family. You have a right to protect your property. God gives you that right, and our government also does. So God has formed man. And then all of a sudden it says that man should not be alone. And it says that he formed, took the rib, made a deep sleep come over Adam, and took the side of that rib, took it out, and formed a woman. God gives life. God is the author of life. Don't ever let anybody tell you, just because you're whatever color, or just because whatever color of hair you have, or whatever color of eyes you have, that you're not worth much. Because according to God, we are worth everything to him. You are worth more than any amount of money that could be given at this time. Now, I want you to turn, if you would, to Jeremiah. Jeremiah the prophet. Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah was a great prophet, people. I mean, absolutely great. Any prophet called by God will do what God wants. But let me tell you this. You got to be careful with prophets nowadays. You know, anybody can put prophet on the end of their name. Anybody could put pastor at the end of their name. You got to be careful, people. Yes. Don't just believe what someone is saying just because they say they're a prophet. How do you know somebody is saying truth? Well, if I told you that I was going to eat out after church somewhere, named Regatta, and I went to the regatta after church at 8, well, then you would say, well, that's a man of his word. Well, I mean, things come up with it. But if you have somebody that is preaching or is a prophet, and they tell you that certain things will happen in the future, and it does not happen, well, then you mark that off. And you say, well, something's not right. You see, the only thing we can judge is by the fruit that comes off of the life of that person. Right. You know, God is the author of the one that calls people to be prophets. God is the one that calls people to be preachers. See, God has a calling on many of your lives. I'm telling you, you got to yield to that call and say, Lord, whatever it takes, I will do what you've called me to do. Look at this. In Jeremiah chapter 1, it says, the words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests who were in Anathothia, the land of Benjamin. Verse 2, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Amon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, the king of Judah, unto the carrying away of Jerusalem captives in the fifth month. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. And before you came forth out of the womb, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet unto the nations. God had already spoken before Jeremiah, who? A prophet. A prophet is someone, I need to explain this, a prophet is someone who will come and say, thus saith the Lord, and will talk about things in the future, and will say all kinds of things. They'll him or her, because God doesn't look at what we look at sometimes, female, male. God doesn't look at that stuff, people. And they will prophesy, and they will prophesy and say this and that and this will happen. And that's the things that we can judge and say, okay, well, that's going to happen. Here we see the prophet Jeremiah, a great man born in 650 B.C., died in 570 B.C. in Egypt. His name means Jehovah is high, Jehovah raises up or launches out. They refer to him, and you might know this, the weeping prophet. You ever heard of that? Yeah. They refer to him, they didn't say it in the word, but he was a weeping prophet because Jeremiah was a prophet that had been captured by a foreign enemy. But he was a prophet that would go to the synagogues and stuff, where they would worship God, where they'd give offerings unto God, where they'd make sacrifices unto God. And Jeremiah was a prophet who prophesied at the entrance at the entrance of where the people would come in to make their offerings. That's like if you would come into church and I would be outside and I would be prophesying things that were going to happen or things that should be done at that moment. And you would hear me as you walked in. That was basically almost, if you want to put it that way, the same. That he was prophesying and prophesying and prophesying. And we have in the book of Jeremiah two of the prophecies. Prophetic things that he spoke. And what he spoke mainly was about was, Israel, get rid of your idols. That's one thing. If you read in the Old Testament and you stay consistent with it, you will find that the one thing that bugs God the most is when his children had idols. The one thing they would grab a hold up to, the one big idol they would grab a hold to, was Baal. At one time, they had two temples, one to the Almighty Jehovah God, and right next to it was another temple called Baal. Can you imagine? And God's people that he took out of Egypt, that he rescued out of the captivity of the Egyptians. And now they were rich people because they had all the gold and the silver. When they left, they were rich. That they would walk in to the place of Jehovah, their God. The one that took them out of Egypt. The one that blessed them. The one that fed them. The one that gave them manna. Miracle by God. The manna would come down from heaven. And it would stay about 6 or so inches off the ground. What a God, huh? And they would come in. It was like a little wafer filled with honey. And they would take it and make their bread and all kind of other stuff that they needed. They would take what God had given them, that they would take the time to go as they should and worship their God by the sheep or the lamb that was perfect, slaughter that lamb as a penance, if you want to say, or a sacrifice for their sins. They would walk out of the kingdom of God, where God was, in the most holy. They didn't go to the Holy of Holies, okay? But that's where God lived, in there. They would walk out of that temple, and they would go next door. Can you imagine? Go next door and go and bow their knee before Baal and worship Baal. We got to make sure, church, you can't have a foot in the world and have a foot with God. Come on now. You can't lie, cheat, steal, and have false accusations against people and then walk into the church of God and say, I'm clean before God. See, we got to make sure. Hey, look. Are we perfect? No. That's why we need a Savior. But I tell you what, we need to make sure that we're pursuing God like we've never pursued Him before. We got to pursue Him. Pursue God. Pursue the things of God. Pursue Him at home. Getting in that Word. Getting in prayer before God and saying, God, I need a touch from You. I need a touch from You, Lord. Help me to do what I need to do according to the will of the Father. Because let me tell you, do you think God took kindly to those things? Going from one temple into the house of the temple of Baal? You know, you have Christians today, I don't understand this. They travel all over the world and they'll bring in idols of all kinds. I mean, idols, and it's pretty, I guess, if you want to say it that way, but it's an idol to another god. And just put it in their home or put it in their yard. I don't understand that. God says, come out from them and be ye clean. Come out from the world and serve Him. If we want to serve the enemy, well, let's serve the enemy with everything. Let's not be half-hearted. Let me tell you, it was the half-heartedness of serving God that got Gideon's army down to 250, was it? You see, we got to realize this. We got to pursue our God. We're not perfect, but let's pursue Him. Let's pursue Him. Let's pursue Him. Look, He's the giver of life. He's the giver of life. He's the giver of life. Let Him flow through you. Let the Spirit of God fill your heart, fill your house. Look, we have so much stuff, bad stuff happening throughout the world and in our country. We need a touch from God. We need God to touch our families. We need God to touch our homes. We need God to come in. Because let me tell you, the first part of John 10:10, He's coming to steal, kill, and destroy. The devil just doesn't want to tiptoe into your home. He wants to take everything from you. He wants to steal your husband. He wants to steal your wife. He wants to steal your children. He wants to steal your money. He wants to take everything you have. Amen. What he wants to see is you down and out at the end of the corner, boozed on up or drugged up and down and out. And what he wants to do is get us to a place where we may be like that and die and split hell wide open. But people, the second part of that verse says that God has come to give us life and to have it more abundantly. Let's pursue God with everything within us, because He is the author of life. He is our God. He is our God. Let's not be lazy or slothful with the things of God. Let us be tenacious with the things of God and saying, okay, Lord, from this day forward, I will do everything I can to pursue you. I will repent of the evil in my heart, of the grudge. Let me tell you, the Bible talks about having a grudge against your brother or your sister. It says get rid of it. We cannot be half in or half out. We cannot have a grudge. Yeah, hey, let me tell you something. I know how it is to be kicked out of a church. I know how it is to be said, leave and I don't want you back. I know how it is to not have a heart of a pastor towards you. I know it. I know it. But let me tell you, you should know from being here how to have a heart, how we have heart. That has changed us, Jelaine and I. The heart for the people. To love you like we do. Pursue God. Pursue Him. Don't let anything get in the way. How's Miss Eunice and them doing? Is they okay? What's wrong? I'm just trying to. Who's that? Oh, Hannah. Okay. Oh, okay. Well, let's pray for her right now. Then I'm just trying to. Lord, we just pray for Hannah. Lord God, the power of Your Spirit to be upon her life. Lord, help her, Father. Lord, You are the God that brings mercy and grace upon her, Lord. Lord, show her how big You are. Reveal Yourself to her. In the name of Jesus, we pray. That's commercial. Okay, now we go on. Ah, gotcha, huh? Pursue God, people. Look, before I formed thee in the belly, God knew you. Before thou comest forth out of the womb, He sanctified us. I mean, that's Jeremiah, but that's us too. And I ordained thee to be a prophet unto all the nations. Before He came, when He was conceived, God says, that's a prophet of mine. Now you might say, well, did He have a choice? Yes, He did. God ordained Him a prophet. But when He came out, He could have said, I don't want to serve God. And wouldn't have been a prophet. When you got saved, God called you to do something. Yes, amen. Pursue what God has called you to do. You might say, well, Pastor, I don't know what it is. Find out. Amen. It may take a little time. It may say, call upon me. The Bible says, people, we don't serve a dead God. Amen. We serve a God that is alive. Yes. It says, call upon me and I will answer thee. We are rest assured. We will not get 911 with God. We will not get an operator or a busy dog. He will speak to us. He will give us His vision for our lives. He will show us what He wants us to do. The power of Almighty God. God is waiting for His people to come back to Him. Ooh. To repent of the evil that we may have allowed. Let me tell you something. The Holy Spirit lives in each and every one of us. I know He does because you received Him. I'm not talking about the infilling of the Holy Spirit. I'm just talking about the filling of the Holy Spirit. When you receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit all came in. They live in you. As you're doing your daily stuff throughout the day, and something you say or something you do or something come against you, and you know you have something in your heart that grieves on the inside, ooh, don't wait 2 weeks to get rid of that thing. Right there you say, Lord, help me. Whatever it is. Whatever it is. We should never wait for evil to plant its roots in our hearts. Never. We should always allow God to yank that stuff out. God promises we will have trouble. That's a promise I don't like. But it's a promise. Trouble will come our way. Trouble will come your way. Don't ever preach the gospel and tell them that everything's going to be great and good and they're going to, you know, walk on lilies, daylilies, and they're going to do fine, no other problem. Problems will come. But I tell you what, we have a God we can trust. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. Trust in Him. And let me tell you, God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, will come and He will help you and I to pursue Him as number one and to do the things that He calls us to do. I've told people this. They don't like it, but I've told them this. They're looking for a church, and I tell them, you have no choice where you go to church. Oh, we live in America. I have a choice if I want to go to church or not. You have no choice. If you're born again, spirit-filled, God tells you where you go. And you go there, and you be a part of it, and you give your life, and you help, and you support. We have no freedom in the kingdom of God. Oh. We say, well, I want to, you know, be free to work. Yes, there's a difference. But I tell you, we've been bought with a price, people. I can't get up next Sunday and say, you know what, I don't want to preach in Gaydon anymore. I'm going somewhere else. That's not my choice. We pursue God, but God tells us, and God leads us, and God moves upon us where He wants us to be. See, we have to be moved by the Holy Ghost. We got to be moved by the Spirit of God. And I know this, God doesn't change His mind every 10 minutes.
Amen.
He's not the author of confusion.
Amen.
He brings stability.
Yes.
Stability. We have no choices but to pursue Him. And He speaks in us and through us. And we become vocal cords for Him to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, the power of Almighty God. You hear people say, and I laugh because I probably said it too. Well, you know, I'm gonna speak my mind, and usually gets us in trouble, huh? That mind just won't stop, and I know we've all hit it at times, or we just. I'm going to speak my mind. And then you walk away and you say, I got him. And then, oh, it's like you walk away and you're going, oh, Lord, what did I do? He will. And that's good because that's how we know we are His children. You know, in your family, you didn't let your children get away with stuff, huh? You discipline them. However way, you discipline them. God will not let us get away with stuff either. He will discipline us. But He disciplines us in love.
Amen.
And in patience. And He knows the things we struggle with. And the things that so easily entangle us. That He comes and He says, Joe, let me take care of this. And you give it. And you say, Lord, help me. And you put your faith and trust in Christ and what He did at Calvary's cross. Y'all know it's only 11 o'clock, huh? It's only 11.
Somewhere.
I'm looking and I'm thinking of all the stuff on my pad there, and I'm thinking, not good. But I do want to read one thing, okay? It's 11:25. I'm truthful with you now. 11:25.
So,
no! Okay. I got I do want to read this because this is one of the things in Jeremiah chapter 7 that Jeremiah stood a prophet of God. And just because God called him as a prophet doesn't mean that he had everything and did everything and everything was great and glory all the time. People, We think, you know, all these 12 guys, you know, that he called, you know, everything was hunky-dory. No, 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 no. We're going to see Jeremiah. Can you imagine at the temple in the front of it, just prophesying as people walked in, prophesying, and him telling them, repent, repent. Your heart is hard. Repent, repent. Get rid of that evil inside your heart. Repent, repent. And look, some of them turned and probably did repent, but some of them didn't. But this is one of the prophecies, and I think we need to read at least one of them. Starting with verse 1, okay? Thank you. The word came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim there this word, and say, hear the word of the Lord, all you of Judah who enter in these gates to worship the Lord. Do you think he was scared? Do you think his knees were a little shaky? We're human beings. Every time I get up here, I have butterflies in my stomach because it's new every time. You're relying upon the Lord. You need God to help you. Verse 3, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place, calling them to repentance. Verse 4, trust you not in lying words, saying, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. For if you thoroughly amend your ways and your doings, if you thoroughly execute judgment between a man and his neighbor, if you oppose not the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, and shed not innocent blood in this place, neither walk after other gods to your hurt, then will I cause you to dwell in this place, in the land that I gave to your fathers forever and ever. Behold, you trust in lying words that cannot profit. Will you steal, murder, commit adultery, swear falsely, and burn incense unto Baal, and walk after other gods whom you know not? And come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered to all, to do all these abominations. In this house, which is called by my name, became a den of robbers in your eyes. Behold, even I have seen it, says the Lord. But go you now unto my place, which was in Shiloh, where I set my name at the first, and see what I did to it for the wickedness of my people Israel. And now before you have done all those works, says the Lord, and I've spoken to you, rising up early and speaking, but you heard not, and I called you, but you answered not. Therefore will I do unto the house which is called by my name, wherein you trust, and unto the place which I gave you to you, and to your fathers, as I have done to Shiloh. And I will cast you out of my sight, as I have cast out all your brethren, even the whole seed of Ephraim. And that we'll stop there. God was telling the people of Judah or Israel, repent. I want to tell you this, people. Repent. The church has become such a place where you have somebody sitting here that hates this person. I don't understand that. That's a shame. That you have misdealings with this person and this person. Or the divorce rate in church is just as high as the world. We're supposed to be the light of the world. Wow. And look, I'm not condemning anybody that's been divorced. Please, at all. But what I'm saying is, there should be a difference. Don't you think? We have to make the difference by how we live, by what we say, what we do, and our actions. We got to live right. Live right. We can't be people that every other word is a foul word. And you might say, well, Pastor, I'm battling. Maybe. Hey, go to the Lord. Say, Father, I put my faith and trust in you. You paid the price at Calvary's cross. Clean up my mouth, Lord. Hey, when we got saved, it was that spirit man on the inside that got saved. God has to work on all the other stuff. Huh? Like this thing right here, huh? Let's cut it off and we can really be good Christians. We can change the name of our church, the Headless Church. The Headless, man, that would be something. We'd have people from all over the place. Especially in October, huh? Oh, man. But we have to do what God wants, people. We got to live a life that is pleasing to Him and perfect unto Him as much as we can. Don't let sin sneak in. Yeah. You know, Billy Graham, that was a great man, I have to say. You know, there was never any scandal or whatever against that man or his ministry, or, you know what I'm saying? He loved the Lord. And he said this, and I thought, that's great. Everything he said was great, but, you know, whatever. He said, you know, it's not the first look that gets you in trouble. Is that second look. You know, you're driving down Interstate 10 and you see evil on those signs. I mean, you know, it's like, oh my God. But you know, it's not the first look, because you're just doing what you do, but it's that second look of turning that gets you in trouble. Yeah. Always remember that second look. You see, keep your eyes upon Christ and what he did at Calvary's cross. You good? Like, she don't want to say. That's okay, baby. That's okay. We prayed for you, Hannah. Okay. Amen. Great. I see you had your mama there. You had your nurse. You had the... When you have your mama, everything's good no matter what. Amen. No. Trying to make her smile a little bit. That's good. That's good. Praise God. But we got to look to the Lord, okay, guys? And keep our faith in Him no matter what, okay? Just like Jeremiah. And you know what happened to Jeremiah? We think Jeremiah lived a life till he was never married, number one. He never married. But he was executed. Jeremiah the prophet was executed by Egyptian people of that time. When I say executed, I mean stoned to death. You know how horrible that must be? One stone at a time hitting you till finally you die. It's like you just want to say, throw one big stone and hit me right here and get rid of me, you know? Come on. But he didn't have just one stone at a time. And he died. You might say he was a prophet of God. Yes, he was. He yielded to God. Yes, he did. Look, just because things we're called by God doesn't mean some things won't happen to us. But this is what we do. We put our faith and trust in Him. In Him. In Him. Amen. You may stand, please. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. As every head is bowed for just a minute, please, if you don't mind. Thank you. I want to ask you a very important question. Do you know Jesus? Have you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior? I want to ask everyone watching, have you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior? If you have not done so, would you please raise your hand so I can see? Amen. Amen. Looks like everyone here has given their heart to the Lord. Thank you. But you never know. You probably have people watching that have not. Because we have many people that watch throughout the whole week, just watching it. So let's pray together. because I want to give them a chance to know Christ, okay? Say, Heavenly Father, I ask you to forgive me of all of my sins. I accept you as my God, my Lord, and my Savior. I believe that you died on the cross and you rose again from the dead and you're seated at the right hand of the Father. I accept you as my God, my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Everybody watching from Facebook or YouTube, if you don't have a church and you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior or not, find a church. Find a church. If you need a good church, come to Gaydon, 308 Main Street. Yes, amen. Amen. And we will do everything we can to help you grow in Christ. But seriously, if you need a church, we'd love to have you. Look, guys, we appreciate you. We thank God for you. We love you. And we pray you have a great week. Andrew, would you come, please?
Father God, we come to you in the name of your Son, Jesus. Father God, today as we go forth in this world, we're asking you, Father, to pave the way for us, Father God. Show us somebody that we can minister to this week, Father God. Give us someone, Father, that we can touch with you, Father. We're asking you to go before us, be with us, and lead us and guide us the whole way through. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. You are dismissed.